Now entering Nerdist.com.
Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Ugh, Jackie talking to me before the mics are turned on.
I know. What have I? What was I thinking?
Stop it!
Stop it! You were the one who sent me the 20 things about merch today that Amy Miller did.
That was awesome.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't approve, of course. This $10-$15 a pop business. Amy Miller, $20. Everyone's $20.
Oh yeah, you're merciless.
I am ruthless. Peoria. I sold.
Do people ever complain?
No.
No. They just hand you a 20 and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they never complain. If they think it's too much, they don't buy it. And I always say everything's half price digitally online, and then the t-shirts are actually more expensive online. And there was one thing she did write that I didn't agree with, actually. She said, don't give deals to the other comics. And I do give deals to the other. I mean, the
she
CDs.
Said do, I think she said do give deals.
Do give deals. And yeah. I can give deals on CDs and DVDs.
Yeah.
But the profit margin on a union-made t-shirt is too great. It is. There's no
profit.
You got
to carry that thing. It's like 5 pounds each, right?
Well, it's the heavy lifting. No, I mean, if it were just schlepping of stuff, I would. If there was enough, I might as well hand each comic $11 because that's how much each of those shirts cost.
Oh, I thought she meant just charge them the cost of it.
Right. But the thing is I can't charge them the cost of the t-shirts because the t-shirts are finite. I can only order them in 100 lots.
You can't amortize and did I use that word right? And
who
figure
knows?
Out exactly.
I think so. It sounds okay. It sounds good. But anyway, the t-shirts.
Your sister will weigh
I always apologize whenever comics want a t-shirt. I'm like, I am so sorry. I'll throw in a CD. You can use it as a coaster because I never think they're going to listen to the fucking thing.
You can sew some of my CDs together and make a shirt.
Exactly. Why don't you turn it into piece of armor? I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, so Peoria, though, I did sell a lot of merch and nobody cared.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So has anyone, you said 20, has anyone walked away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I only have $10.
And you're like, you don't break.
No. No,
what
am I in Kuwait? It's there's no, it's buy it or don't buy it. You're
fine.
And I give
there's
away,
no barter system in your world.
Well, and I give the stickers away for free, and the stickers are actually expensive.
Okay, well that's cool.
Yeah, I give people 5 stickers a piece. Like I give
how
them
many
two
stickers. Do grown-ups need?
Well, the spooky reading girl stickers. People are like, can I get another one?
Really?
Yeah. People want them. The Dork Forest and the Jackie and Laurie stickers, people are like, I might have a kid I can give this to. Oh, my God. I had someone come up to me at a show and say.
In Peoria?
It wasn't in Peoria. Where the fuck? I don't care. But it was because I'm getting donations for the Dork Forest. There's a PayPal button, right?
Yeah.
And then some people have emailed me and said, hey, can I use Venmo?
Yeah.
Which is the hipster kid new thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had somebody come up to me at a show and go, yeah, I'd rather do it via Venmo just because I don't like PayPal. And I didn't have the guts to tell them that PayPal bought Venmo. PayPal owns Venmo and has for the last 3 years because then they'll switch to some other hipster thing that I will also have to download now.
I wonder if that's because of Peter Thiel, who was an early investor in PayPal but is not part of it now.
Like, no, it has nothing to...
You don't benefit Peter. I wonder if they're objecting to PayPal because of that.
Oh, because they're 10 years behind on Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
Possibly. Very
You're
possible.
Very hostile to hipsters who like Venmo.
I am hostile to people who want to people. Just mail me a sweaty 20. How about that? I got paid a lot in cash this weekend, which was hilarious because I haven't gotten that much cash.
Oh, in Peoria. Is that a lot of drug dealers in your audience, do you feel like?
There is a gentleman's club next door called, like, Pussy or something. It's literally the dumbest. I forget what it's called. It might be called
so
Purse.
So on the, not nose, but.
Boing. So it was Easter weekend, lightly attended.
Oh, my God. Every time I go on the road, it's because we have a hiatus because it's a holiday.
Yes.
And then you get there, it's like, oh, yeah, no one
people.
Comes to shows on Thanksgiving night.
Oh, no. Right. And though he did tell me that it was also the second decent weekend of Illinois' winter.
Yeah.
So it was lightly attended. And but he said I did one more person better than the person the week before me.
Oh, that's good.
John Doerr. That's
right.
And John Doerr, as far as I could tell, is a I mean, he's a
famous.
Draw for he's a draw for me. I would love to see more
Jesus.
John Doerr. And but across the street from Peoria is a stock car race track that you can hear from the stage if there's a race.
But that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So and what I did not know is right next to the stock car race track.
Yeah.
There's an all-the-time go-kart track that I would have fucking gone to during the day.
I must work this gig once in my lifetime.
Let me tell you something. I'm out there telling people that you want to. I'm keeping the bridges
now,
open.
Wait a minute. You're not allowed to speak for me. You
I'm keeping the bridges open for you, Kilmartin. That's all I'm saying. Hey, I've always wanted to book her, and I'm like, I'm sure she would love it. You know, she's got this very important job with television, so you'd want to really get her because she's a very big
deal. At the moment.
Knock on wood.
We're having, like, a strike vote. And you know, if you we're everyone that's a good person is voting yes. you want 100% authorization to strike, and
right.
So the studios go, oh shit, this is gonna be ugly, and they go, all right, let's talk.
Okay.
And if it's like if it's 50-50, they, these guys are shaky, they'll fold.
Right.
So you have to project strength.
Yeah, you do have to project strength, and that's why unions have gotten us anything. Like, that's why children are not being burned alive in factories.
I know. I don't understand it.
It's very annoying.
Like, my mom, a Trump voter, anti-union, I'm like, the only reason you can live with me is because of my union wage. Like,
right.
this thing, you'd be in a home right now if
right.
it wasn't for a union.
Right.
And she shuffles off to her room to watch Netflix. How about Patreon? Did you know somebody was telling me they make a lot of money with their podcast on Patreon? I don't know what that means, though.
Well, I do. Because
I was on an edible at the time, and I just took in the information, but I couldn't engage in debate.
No kidding. Yeah, Patreon. Everyone keeps telling me to do it. Here's what I think of it as. A third job, which I've already got three jobs. So
why is it a third job?
Then it would be the sixth or fourth. Math isn't easy right now. It's hard. I can't because you have to create special content just for Patreon people. It's another place to post stuff. It's another place to create content. It's another
place
to interact.
So they have the free part of the podcast, and then they have the pay part? Is that what?
You do a whole other set of podcasts that would only go to the Patreon.
You do a whole other.
In addition?
Yeah.
In addition.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a whole other.
You just lost me.
Right.
I barely want to do this one.
Well,
another
let me tell you
one?
Something. It's 10 o'clock on a what? A Monday?
A Monday.
My flight boards at 5:30 tomorrow morning, which is
what the fuck? Why do you do this to yourself?
I have no idea because
going?
I'm going a day early.
No,
so I could have.
Oh my god!
And I did it a day early on purpose so that I could be there in time
to
sleep.
At 7 in the morning?
Yeah, I don't
when
need
can
to
you check in. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to Minneapolis to do a benefit for the Children's Crisis Center.
Okay.
So there, nobody has a leg to stand on for the reason I'm going.
Right.
But and I'm going. My family lives there. It's with Acme. Acme asked me to do nothing, never. And but I'll tell you this: there's five other comics on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flying 3,000 miles to do 12 minutes because they're all headliners. They're all amazing comics. But I think they need me because I am the only woman. And they're all amazing comics, but it's like it's Chad Daniels, it's Cy Amundsen's thing, right? So it's Cy, Chad Daniels, Sean Patton.
I don't know Cy.
He's a Minneapolis guy. He's,
okay.
Whatever. He's very funny. Sean Patton and David Huntsberger and Chad Daniels and myself.
That's a great show.
And one other guy.
And you guys are all doing 12?
Well, I assume it's an hour and a half show, right? Maybe.
I'm not great at math, but that seems
six
like
into 90 minutes.
No, that's five. Five times 10 is 50. Five times two is 10. So that's 60 minutes. So the MC's going to do a half hour.
So maybe we're doing 15. So that'd be good. Good for you for having better math than me. I don't know. I just got off a flight last night.
Very defensive tonight. I just want that noted.
I took care of myself. Right. Okay.
Peoria was good.
I have a story.
You two on Saturday.
Actually, the second show got canceled because of Easter. But first show Saturday was amazing. It was the best show of the weekend. We were pretty psyched. The owner guy is hilarious. Super chat. Yeah. Really nice guy. Three radios, two TVs on Friday morning.
Oh, my God. You told me that, and I... That's when I realized I didn't have to do this gig.
6 a.m. he picks you up.
Oh, my God.
And so...
And well, you're like, wait, I'm usually boarding a flight unnecessarily at this time.
I know. But it's... But I'll tell you this, though. It was because he texted me at 6. He was like, I'm on my way. And he had mentioned because it was a Quality Inn.
Yeah. So you're staying in a Quality Inn. Yeah, my God.
It had a free cup of waffle.
Near
right,
the racetrack.
The
near a racetrack.
No, no. I rented a car. I spent so much money on this gig. But I did really good on merch. It paid for it. It's fine.
It's car rental. It can't be too expensive in Peoria, right?
And Peoria's guy threw me some money for the car rental.
Oh, that's
which was
cool.
Nice, too. Get this. It was the greatest thing I ever did because otherwise... There was one place to eat that was walkable distance from this Quality Inn, and it was called like the Pizza Ranch. Pizza Ranch.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I didn't want to eat at the Pizza Ranch.
That's not a breakfast place.
No. And so I found the two hippie joints in Peoria and had lovely meals at both of them. But
what was your rental car? Was it Enterprise?
Budget.
Oh, okay. Did you rent it at the airport?
Yeah.
It costs a little extra.
Yeah.
If you get him to take you into town, and usually this is the way Enterprise was when I was renting cars a lot on the road, is they pick you up at where you are.
Yeah.
And it's way cheaper on a day rate from Enterprise if you rent in the city as opposed to.
And then they'll drive you to the airport?
No, but isn't the club going to take you to the airport?
Or
is that part of why he reimbursed you?
It's probably why he reimbursed me. So, I mean, because then he didn't have to do anything.
You see the statue? Is there a statue of Richard Pryor?
Yeah. I did a little Snapchat-y thing about it. It was great. And he drove me right by it. It's actually a really nice statue.
Neat.
As opposed to the statue of Henry Winkler in Milwaukee of the Fonz, which doesn't look anything like Henry Winkler or even the Fonz.
It looks like Richard Pryor. That's the
word. Exactly. So, yeah. But here's the weird story. So it's next to the strip club and the bartender. So I told this story to Andy. And Andy, to some extent, you know, raised by lesbians, is like, I don't know, kind of in some ways like a better feminist than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially he'll hear a story and he's like, as a white man, I would not tolerate that at all.
Interesting.
So as a woman, you should not have to tolerate that. And that is his definition, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, so this is what happens, right? So, and I started the story the same way. I'm going to tell it just the same way, which is the bartender, nice guy.
Okay.
In many ways, a real nice guy and super friendly and great. Loves the strip club next door.
Right.
Has free tickets to it for people who want to go.
Yeah.
Is gross. So I walk up to get a soda water and cranberry juice.
Right.
At the bar, and he's talking to the waitress, and the waitress says something about her kid or about something. Something's happening. I miss the entire setup, but this is what he says. He says, well, I don't believe you. And he pulls his phone out. He's like, I think I'm going to have to take a picture underneath your skirt.
Oh, my God.
He said that out loud to a woman at work, and I said, what the fuck just happened? And which is how I like to respond to things. And the waitress goes, right? And what Rob, the bartender,
it's
goes.
It's like you're the first person that's ever objected besides her. And she finally has a witness to her degradation.
Right. And so Rob, instead of going, oh, yeah, he goes, what? She's my sister. Does that help? No,
the waitress
it doesn't.
Is a sister?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no, it does not help, Rob. It is all kinds of terrible. And so I tell Andy the story, and I'm like, and Andy's like, no, that's a goddamn nightmare. And I said, I know, but the guy's all right. He's an okay. And he's like, stop talking.
up with so much shit we don't even realize.
And I thought, well, maybe Andy's a bigger, but Kyle's reaction was the correct reaction as well. And then I thought, well, I'll tell this other guy who's just a guy that I know this story. Mm-hmm. And even that guy who is around a lot of,
he's probably taken up skirts himself, correct?
Well, he's a sports chiropractor, so he hangs around a bunch of professional sports.
How do you know?
He's my chiropractor.
Oh, okay.
So, but he deals with a lot of like the skateboard guys, and okay. And so it could be douchebags that he's hanging out with, right? Mm-hmm. But even he goes, "What the fuck did that guy say?" And I was like, "You're right." Oh, thank God this song is coming on. I don't know if anyone can hear, but there's some
they
beats
probably
going
can't,
on.
But we can feel it in our vaginas right
but
now.
But I told you.
It's coming up through the floor.
Thank God. Thank God. But I told you that because we deal with so much bullshit.
Yeah.
And this woman, you're right. That's the first time anybody was like, what? No. Yeah. No, not okay, buddy. Even though he is a perfectly.
Oh, man.
Super nice.
I bet he makes more money than the waitress. Do you think? Does the bartender make more money than the waitress?
I don't know. When I tipped out the staff, the waitress seemed pretty psyched. But when I tipped out him, he seemed pretty psyched.
I told you that Etta Mae story, right? About tipping the Waffle House waitress?
No.
I worked with, you know Etta Mae,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where she is. I haven't seen her in decades.
Right. Hopefully still working.
Murderer. A fucking killer on stage.
Well, let's look her up and maybe Comic of the Week one day.
Yeah. Anyway, we were working
it's MAE, if I remember.
Yeah, Etta Mae. Yeah, MAE. We were working in at Joker's in Dayton.
Why weren't you? Why wouldn't you?
With D. Williamson, and who is a guy who passed away recently. He had cancer in he was from North Carolina. Funny guy, nice
right.
guy. Just like, oh, mm-hmm. fuck. Young guy, parent.
Right.
Wrong on every level.
Right.
He would die, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we all went out together, and I was featuring, and she was headlining, and he was emceeing. This is a while ago. And we went to the Waffle House after our Tuesday
sure.
or Wednesday night show, and she tipped the waitress $20, which buys 10 Waffle House steaks. And I don't think this is like in the 90s, never got a $20 tip, I'm guessing.
Right.
In Dayton.
Right.
Right. And
in
then
Dayton,
we went back the next night and she, like, it was like she opened the door. Come on in, y'all. I mean, just greeted Etta and us like we were
famous.
Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Oh, that's that's. Yeah.
Whatever.
I once tipped at a hotel. It was. I don't know. I think I'd stayed there like 6 days, and I only tipped like $3 or $4 a night, right? I mean, I'd read that you're supposed to tip $3 or $4 a night at a hotel.
Oh, really?
For each night that you stay.
Okay.
If you could afford it.
Yeah,
if you
can't, yeah.
Do whatever you got to do. But so I left this woman $20 because it was a Vegas gig.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I was there
sure,
for
sure.
the entire week.
Yeah.
And the maid chased me down. The elevator. She was like, "Oh my God, thank you so much."
And no, seriously.
Yeah,
in Vegas, she wasn't even used to that.
Yeah,
I bet people are worse in Vegas.
Boo.
God damn.
Yeah.
Okay. You told me a story last week that we can't repeat, but we'll repeat it. Like we'll mask it in a
okay.
couple months, and no one will know.
No one will know. Which one was it?
You know the one you called me to tell me.
Oh God,
it was fucking the greatest. Okay, but this is when I have to mask. But okay, so I was at a club. Okay, and I saw at the club wasn't billed, but was going to do a set on the show, an A-list comic who in the late night world would be a first guest.
Oh,
doesn't
wow.
have to do a set, right?
Okay,
and I hadn't seen this person for like at least a decade, right?
Okay,
but I knew this person from. You know, our years together.
Oh, right, right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I had seen their name on the grid. So
yeah.
So the person goes, "Hey, Lori, it's blah, blah." And you know what? Bless their heart, said their name, even though I knew who it was.
Right.
I was like, oh.
This is how it ought to be done.
Why doesn't everyone else do? Why does the lead guest on a late night show introduce themselves with their name and not, you know, the one person I met once at a gig 5 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. So. So I said, hey.
You remember me. Yeah. Don Rickles. Right?
So I said, hey, I saw your name on the grid. You're going to be on the show soon at Conan. I can't wait. And the person goes, I was on last week.
Oh, shit. Woo!
Listen.
Listen.
I don't always watch the show.
Well, you're busy working.
I mean, I watch the comedy, but I don't watch. Sometimes I don't watch the guests. Sometimes I don't even know. You know, if there's a stand up I know or I think I know, I go visit them. But when they're the lead guest, you don't necessarily go bother the A or the B guest.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's I have this. First of all, here's an,
Who it is.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. Kyle did a little research on our good friend Edame.
She's booked through next February.
What?
Yeah.
She's booked for the next year.
Like what rooms?
She does.
Can you read
cruise ships? And the she's part of a package tour for Lady Southern Comics called the Southern Fried Comedy Tour.
Genius! I love a genius.
Next month she is in Hawaii for 7 days.
What the fuck?
Good for you, Edame.
Good for you. Oh my god.
And
she is raking money in left and right.
Good.
By saying y'all.
Oh, right. That's it.
I love it.
Do you like the idea of a themed freak show?
Yeah. Sign me up. Let me go. Right. Sign me up. I tried to talk you into some stupid one last week.
Yeah, you did.
And you're like, oh, yeah. I have integrity.
Yeah, I'm not.
No. You won't. That won't last.
All you have to do is find the right button.
If we could get Edame to tell us how much she's making, you will crumble in a second.
Can I tell you that a story my father told me that is obviously apocryphal because he's Elliot Cation.
Yeah.
He said, you know that story about somebody tried to bribe Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, and he punched a guy on the steps of the White House. And I was like, what? He said, yeah, supposedly a guy came up, tried to bribe Lincoln, and he said no. And then he punched him, and the journalist said, why'd you punch him? And I guess Lincoln said, he was getting too close to my price.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's
I know
a great
everyone
line.
Wants.
I hope
that
it's
to
true.
Be true.
I hope it's true.
I don't. I don't want Abraham Lincoln to have a price.
He didn't seem real quippy, Lincoln. I mean,
no, he was.
He was totally.
Yeah, he was super quippy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Go back. That's
go
a good
back.
One.
Well, how far? I mean, I only go back to 1965.
Well, 100 years before that, and then you're in. Well, he died that year, but it was tragic. By the way, it was a career cut tragically short. Him dying.
Yeah, it was. I kind of tuned out. I didn't want that to go unsaid. That I agree, it was tragic that he was successful.
Yeah, we don't. Oh my God, somebody. Oh, I know. I just did a Dork Forest, a board game Dork Forest, and this guy was like, "Hey, I might have said something inappropriate. Are you good? If you listen to it and hear that, will you take it out?" And I was like, No, I will not. It is the Dork Forest, and unless you know what it was and you want to listen to it.
Oh, he didn't know?
Yeah, and then he told me what it was, and he had just, I think he, it was about a board game in space, and there were black people, and I think he referred to those black people as space Africans, and then corrected himself and said, well, unless they're not from Africa. And I was like, oh my God, that you just sound like a doof. You don't sound
safe.
Yeah, that's a Dork Force.
Although I do like the phrase space Africans.
Space Africans.
I don't know what to do with it, but I think it's amazing.
It's not for you.
Okay. All right. I wasn't trying to grab it. Let me just
tell you something. You don't get to write that story. Somebody, a person of color gets to write that story. Please do, by the way. I would read that story. That and a quality underground railroad where there's actually a steampunk underground railroad. I would like that one also to be written.
There's something. There was an underground railroad book that Oprah champion named by a guy named Coulson, I think, Whitehead. I gotta read it. It's on my list. Anyway.
But I bet you it wasn't steampunk.
No, it wasn't.
No, and there wasn't an actual.
Why didn't you write that book?
Because again, it is not my task.
By the way, I got my manuscript. It's called a manuscript now. Back.
Oh, that's right. Because it's now that it's gone to the publisher, it is a manuscript, isn't it?
and a lot of edits.
Notes? Oh, a lot of notes?
A lot of notes.
Well.
More than I anticipated. And
because you're a genius. And you think, no, this was done.
Well,
to some extent.
It feels like it. You know, there's some where I'm like, okay, yeah, I see where that needs a little more explanation. And others where I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't agree or I don't like this. I don't think this sentence needs a tail.
Yes.
I think it's done. I don't think it needs 10 more words added to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm just sort of going through it. And I was so depressed that I couldn't look at it for like 5 days. And then this isn't the way that a professional handles things.
Right.
I just have to go. But there's so many of them.
Right.
I mean, every, the, you know, every page had a
had some sort of note.
It felt like it. Maybe not.
Maybe
some pages have more than one, and then I don't know. It was it felt quite overwhelming.
Well,
I started just going through it and just going.
Just
I accept
massaging.
This one. You can think you can accept it or reject it, and
right.
then I guess if there's a strong feeling on the other side, we really feel like this. I guess. I don't know.
Well, I have to tell you that as a comic, I don't like any feedback. The feedback I'd like to
right.
get is just laughter or lack of
yeah,
laughter.
Great
and then
show.
I will
Thanks.
Move forward.
Yeah.
And but have you ever done the Risk show? The storytelling Risk?
I don't know.
Kevin Allison from The State?
He
runs a it's a storytelling show out of New York, and I think he does one here. He does one here. Of course he does.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes you to tell him the story. Over the phone and then
no,
give
I haven't
you
done
notes.
It. Yeah, no.
And the first time I was furious because it doesn't pay anything. And
yeah.
so I was beside myself with 100%
rage. 100%
agree. Yeah.
Would Etta Mae do that?
No.
She's our new spirit animal.
Exactly.
Seriously.
And I had done these other storytelling things that had made me write them out
mm-hmm.
and then read them. So I had written out the story that I was going to do. And I said, I'm not going to tell you the story, I'm going to send it to you. And so I sent him the story, and then I got notes back, and I was just as angry. But here's the crazy thing about notes. I took them into I did another pass,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with another pass.
No,
because
it's always
it
good
will
to,
yeah
it's
it,
fine
and it made the stories better. So I still don't enjoy getting notes from him, but I do them just because it's a new set of eyes. I actually don't mind it once I get over the hump of going,
yeah.
what the fuck?
Yeah.
But
let me
yeah.
ask you this. Do you know what a tractome is?
No. A tractome?
Tract, T-R-A-C-T.
T-O-M-E?
Home.
Oh, home. No.
Let me write it down. Tract.
Okay.
Home.
Nope.
You don't know that phrase?
Oh, tract. Wait.
Tractome.
Like a tractor.
No, not tractor.
Oh, wait.
T-R-A-C-T. Home. Tractome. Do you know what that is?
I think so. Isn't that what my house is?
Yeah, like a cookie cutter house.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why taking it out of with no sentence around it made me not go
no, maybe,
weird.
But listen, in my book, that's in a sentence. And next to it was a giant question mark. I was like, wait, people know. And then I look and what I did was I went to the New York Times and I Googled the phrase tractome and it's used, you know, without explanation. In articles.
Well,
so to me, that's common knowledge. That I don't want to slow it down by explaining what a tractome is.
No,
it's not important enough.
What I did was because I used that to describe our house, but
yeah.
I call it a 1950s tractome.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So that was. You can use that. Oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever said in my life.
I'm going to cross you out right now. guess what?
What?
This is the most amazing thing. To me,
yeah.
About 6 months ago, I got some. First of all, I'm very stressed out about the lack of bees and butterflies.
Oh, in the world?
Yes.
All right.
So I have a giant plant in my front yard that it's like a bush, and there's a million branches, but they grow on the ground and then they grow up. So it looks like a spider on its back with a leg sticking up.
Oh, but is it milkweed?
No, not this one. But it's got like 50 branches, and they have
yeah.
these little purple flowers. And so the house is covered in bees right now, which I love. I feel
yeah.
like I have a private army ready to attack anyone.
helping to pollinate
to
other things.
Yes. But so a couple, I don't know, maybe like 6 months ago, I noticed one monarch like in the midst of the bees and the flowers. And so I did get a milkweed, like
yeah.
just a teeny tiny plant, and I put it in a pot, and it grew and grew and grew. And as of right now, I have two monarch caterpillars in my milkweed plant.
That's awesome.
And hold on. I've been tracking them for like 3 days, three or four days, like obsessed, you know, morning,
How is it
noon,
going?
Night.
How is it going?
Where are they? What leaves are they on? They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They're like
sure.
busy. They're eating. They got to eat as quick
they
as possible.
They got to eat.
One of the caterpillars sewed a little chrysalis for herself tonight. So she's all sewed up and ready to become a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
It is exciting. Well done.
Thank you.
I planted some zucchinis in our vegetable. I'm doing it row by row because I'm only home for a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, you're hardly ever home.
Right. So
Does Andy tend to any of this stuff?
Well, the deal is if I plant them, he will water them. And so I plant them, and then he waters them.
Okay.
And except for Tiberius, completely consumed.
The dragon?
Yeah, the iguana.
Yeah.
He ate two of the plants.
So he's just allowed to roam free?
In the backyard.
Okay.
Every day he gets like an hour out.
Okay.
So if we're home, just because, you know, what kind of life is that?
Sure, exactly.
And so he's just in the backyard wandering around. And so he did eat one of the zucchinis. But zucchinis are notorious for producing hundreds of zucchinis.
Oh, really? Yeah. I wish I liked to eat zucchini.
You might like, I make a, have you ever had that cucumber salad where they're shaved real thin with a red onion and then some rice wine vinegar on it? It's lovely. And you can do that.
But that's a cucumber, and that's not zucchini.
You can swap out a zuc, and it tastes almost the same, and it's nice. No?
No.
It's Andy won't eat zucchini if it, because there was a bad summer when his mom put it in everything. He won't eat anything where it's hidden. He's like, if I'm going to eat a zucchini, it's going to be a fucking zucchini. And he's like, we will grill zucchinis.
Oh, where you subtly.
Yeah. Okay. Like, there's no hiding it in bread.
Oh, I gotcha.
He hates zucchini bread.
I like zucchini bread.
Oh, do you like zucchini bread?
Yeah.
That's because you like sugar and bread, because that's all a zucchini
Again,
bread
another
is.
Again, another attack on me, and out of,
a lot of, judging.
Out of nowhere.
A lot of judging. It's true. Did you see that picture, my Delta saga?
No, what happened?
Oh, did you miss the picture?
Yes.
The weirdest thing happened. So I'm flying back from Peoria. My flight was delayed. It's the third time in a month.
Are you in first class?
But here's
who cares?
I'm in more than
Please
first class.
Delay it.
Here's so I'm flying from Peoria to Detroit, Detroit to LAX.
Yeah.
Peoria to Detroit, there's no first class.
Oh, it's one of those little ones.
Yeah, it's a little one. So I get off the plane in Detroit. I have a 2-hour layover. There's a woman on the jet bridge with an iPad with my name on it.
Whoa.
And I said, yes. And she said, Jacqueline Cashian. And I said, yeah, sort of. And she said, I'm here to drive you across the tarmac to your gate.
No.
And I said, wait, my layover's like 2 hours. And she goes, it's just a courtesy. And I said, is it because I'm Diamond? And she didn't want to imply that it would happen everywhere and all the time. So she was like, it's just a courtesy we're doing today. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
You know, there's a family of four that needs to... That'd be, and I was like, I feel like Marie Antoinette. And she takes me out the door onto the runway, onto like the
first
outside
of all, fuck
gate.
That family. You know what? Don't have kids if you don't want to walk in an airport. Say that as a mother.
She puts me, it's the best mother. And we get into a Porsche SUV.
Oh my God.
And as we're walking to the, and I said, are we getting into the Porsche? And she goes, yeah. And there's this pause and she goes, do you want a picture? And I thought, sure. I thought she meant a selfie with me, her, and the car. She just meant me in the fucking car.
Wow.
And so I did with, and I'm, there's two pictures of me on Facebook with me with this damn car. And I was like, what's happening? And
United Airlines is what's happening.
Possibly. Very possible. And I said to her, you know that thing where you have enough money that you don't really need things and then free things happen all the time? This is one of those things. And she laughed and then she regrouped because she works at Delta. And she's like, it's just a courtesy thing that we, you know, it's, and so that's what's happening.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That I don't know. Like tomorrow I'm flying to Minneapolis and I believe I am first class.
So you're not paying for any of these first class upgrades. They just happen?
Right, because I have so many miles.
When did you start with Delta?
About 3 years ago.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Maybe five.
I've always had Delta. How many miles are you doing a year on Delta?
Well, here's the thing. You get double miles when you use that Amex card.
Right.
I have an Amex Reserve card, which gets me into the Delta Sky Club. The Diamond status also gets me into the Delta Sky Club, so I could get rid of that Reserve card. Any Delta Amex card will get you free luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did it, because the most basic Delta Amex card costs $100 a year.
Yeah.
And you get 2 free bags per flight.
Wow.
And so
and that's
it was worth
you can put all your merch. That's totally worth it.
Totally worth it, right? Because it's $25 per per way. So $50 a trip, right?
Yeah.
Paid off immediately.
Yeah.
The Delta Reserve card is, even if it were $200 or $250 or whatever, it would still pay for itself in a year, right?
Yeah.
So the Delta Reserve card is $450. which I can write
off. It's a credit
off.
Card?
It's a credit card.
It's an Amex?
It's an Amex Delta Reserve card. I get 3 bags for free, which I've never used.
Whoa.
And I get the Sky Club, which is saved me $20 every, because every time you walk into an airport, you spend $20.
Right.
On waters, on lunch. You go into a Delta Sky Club, you have all the free coffee and water and booze if you're into it, and juice and iced tea that you want. Plus, there's usually some sort of food thing going on.
Yeah.
So you don't have to ever, it's quiet. Nobody buys this for their kids.
So you could be buying coach tickets this entire time, but because you have this reserve card, you're allowed to go in.
Well, and every time, yes, completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does every airline do that?
I don't know. There is an article. My friend Deborah sent me this article about all of the fanciest.
Yeah.
So there's an American. I've only read American and JetBlue because it was this Hollywood. It was in the Hollywood Reporter last week, and the American lady met this reporter at the curb, took her through a back like alleys and something at LAX, like tunnels and bullshit. She ended up in a room with locks and bagels and Julie Andrews.
Oh my God.
The JetBlue one.
Wait, JetBlue has something? Is that the Mosaic thing?
I think so, yeah.
How do you get Mosaic?
I have no idea.
I got to look this up. I'm on JetBlue all the time.
There you go. You're on JetBlue all the time. So anyway, pick a card and stick to it is what I would say. And I do 2 cards just because not everybody takes Amex.
Yeah.
And Southwest has a perfectly good Visa card.
Yeah.
And you get double points if you buy your flight on that card.
Yeah, right, right.
So you get the frequent flyer miles and the points, and then you get points for anything else you buy on the card.
Man.
So I've got like 45,000 points came just from the Amex card. Frequent flyer miles, rather, or whatever. It's a great story.
I'm
never telling it again.
It's not a story. It's just useful information.
It is useful information. It's true.
So these young comics should pick an airline now.
Yeah, really, you really should. I think it was like 8 or 9 years ago that Augie Smith told me to pick an airline. Chip Chinnery told me to pick an airline.
What did Augie pick?
Delta.
Also?
And I don't know
Aren't you guys
Chip
always
did.
Routed through Atlanta, though?
You can be, or Minneapolis, or Salt Lake. Mm. Those are both a couple of good hubs as well. And this Peoria trip was insane. I had to fly to Atlanta and then back to Peoria.
Oh my God.
And then, so whatever.
How much time, Kyle?
Oh my God.
36.
Oh, we should do the comic of the week.
Sure.
Andy Erickson, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Erickson, Minneapolis comic. Last comic standing, top 5.
Yes.
And she's great.
Yeah,
silly.
Very funny.
Loves
A-N-D-Y.
A unicorn.
A-N-D-Y.
Erickson with C-K-S-O-N. Yeah. And I think, is it at I Love Unicorns? What is it at?
What do you mean she loves a unicorn?
She loves unicorns. Her thing is that she freaking loves unicorns.
My son loves unicorns.
Well, she is your son. She is a 10-year-old. She does have a 10-year-old
boy.
Yes.
She has one?
No.
Oh, she is.
Inside of her brain. And, wow, those are 2 stories I actually can't tell.
You'll text me, right?
Yeah, I'll text you.
I watched this documentary a couple nights ago called While I Was Procrastinating Getting to the Edits on My Manuscript.
Yes.
That's when I decided to search Netflix.
Yes.
It's called The 7-5. And it's about these dirty, filthy cops in a precinct in Brooklyn called the 7-5.
Okay.
And the one guy's name's Michael Dowd. He went to prison for 12 years for, I don't know what the charges were. He did a lot worse shit than what he was convicted of.
Right.
And it's really interesting because he's funny and he's likable.
Sure.
And he reminds me, and I think a lot of people, when I started searching Twitter, other people's responses of Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
Ah.
Kind of that funny guy. But you know what? He's a fucking psychopath, too.
Right. He's a homicidal maniac.
But I happen to notice, I guess a lot of male comics are just loving this guy.
Oh, because comics sit around and watch Netflix a lot.
Yes.
And so they're like, this is the guy.
And they all want to be Goodfellas in a way. You know what I mean?
Not even in a way. They all want to, they love coming through the kitchen.
God. I like this.
I like going through the kitchen too. My dad came and saw me in Zany's downtown Chicago, came through the kitchen because that's how they get people in mostly.
Yeah.
And my dad was psyched.
That seems unsanitary. The entire crowd goes through the kitchen?
Mm. The front door is right by this, but after the show begins, show up late, they bring you through the kitchen.
Okay.
And my dad, of course, showed up late. It was the last time my father saw me do stand-up, and I, of course, got the 45-minute note session afterwards. Who doesn't want to have a note session?
Yeah, so it was just sort of, you know, like, it's so easy to forget these people are fucking animals, you know?
Right.
And this guy was selling his services as a cop to drug dealers so that he would let them know if other cops were investigating him.
Oh, he was that guy.
Yeah. And, you know, so he's obviously, he's busy, he's got his hustle going on, and they're just letting people deal drugs on the streets. And some of those drug dealers shot to death another cop.
Oh,
so
wow.
It could
That's
be argued that if you guys had been doing your fucking job, that other cop wouldn't have been shot to death.
Right.
But you know what? They didn't really, they let you know that happened, but I felt like they leaned a little bit too much on this guy's charisma and how funny he was.
Because it's better television.
Yeah, and he's out of prison now, and he's got, you know, he used his money to buy a condo on Myrtle Beach, and he still got it, and it's like,
have you ever been to Myrtle
Beach?
Of,
like, I know he was in prison for 12 years, but he kind of won. And it's shitty.
It is shitty, and I'm not surprised.
You're almost choking to death right now.
I don't know what is going on. Kirkman, if I have nodes, I caught them from you. I caught them from you.
I didn't know they were contagious, are they?
I don't know. But, oh, I listened. You know, I did that ad thing on Pandora I told you about, right?
Yeah.
And then, so...
Wait, tell me again?
If you have a channel on Pandora, you can record...
Could you tell I was lying?
Last episode, other people remember.
Well, it wasn't an ad.
It was an ad. It was essentially you can leave a message for everyone who listens.
Oh, you said message. That's a different...
Oh, right. But okay. And then you were the one who said, so like an ad.
Tractome.
It's a tractome.
You
is
didn't
what it
know
was.
What a tractome was.
It was not offhand. It's a... You seem super defensive. Like you think I'm attacking you. There's a lot of maybe I...
I'm jealous of your road life. That's why I can't. When I hear if I hear more than 5 minutes on of it, I'm like,
Well, when this one drops, I'm doing a show downstairs, Nerd Melt with Ophira Eisenberg.
Oh, cool.
We're voice doppelgangers, you know. She has that show on Ask Me Another.
Yeah, I think accent doppelgangers, but you have more of a scratchiness to your voice than Ophira does.
I have nodes. I think it's a new thing with the nodes. It isn't okay.
It sounds good.
It's
you and Kirkman, you guys sound scratchy and good.
But I was listening, essentially, Pandora popped. I'm going to tell three stories at once.
Okay.
Pandora popped up the Feinstein album, mm-hmm. this Feinstein album. And
Rachel's?
Rachel Feinstein. Okay. And it made me laugh. So she's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
She had this one bit where she described her mom as wanting to be like the Blind Side. Like her mom wants to find a troubled ute
yeah.
and fix that kid and,
right.
with violin
yeah.
lessons or something. And I was thinking about that bit that I do about what White Lady Meat Shield and wanting to be the White Lady Meat Shield. And I'm like, am I Rachel Feinstein's mother? And I was like, no, I'm not, because I don't want to be a White Lady Meat Shield. I think I'm being forced to be a White Lady Meat Shield by our political problems. And, by the way, I can't write anything but political jokes. I'm very irritated with myself. I don't want to write any more political jokes.
Okay, I did, let's see. I had a kind of a light week. I did a show. I did a couple shows last week. I did a show at the Ice House
mm-hmm.
on Friday in the little room.
Oh, that's right.
It was really good. And I think someone videotaped it. And that might be a tape I could send to
The powers
show.
That be.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you not get that tape, though?
Yeah, I got to email that guy to make sure.
Good.
But Saturday I took off to hang out with Miho. And,
oh, nice.
And we saw Baby Boss. It was like a date night, you know? Author's
you
night out.
Baby Boss.
Yeah. Horrible.
Because he's a child.
Yes.
And how was it? Horrible. You just, there's no. It's one joke, and then you sit through that for 88 minutes.
Oh, my
minutes.
God. Yeah.
It's a
but
terrible.
They know how to draw those eyes on those babies. They really make them sympathetic.
Isn't that what
know?
The Family Guy baby is? Isn't that the whole thing? Is that baby is like in,
yeah.
Has power
yeah.
and is a baby?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I think we have 11 seasons of that, don't we? We don't need another 88 minutes
yeah.
of that.
Well, it made a bajillion dollars.
Did it?
Did very well.
Oh, fair enough.
Stop trying to be original and you'll do something with your life.
All right. I literally have got to start writing some jokes about Korean food. What?
But I haven't been working on my act like in a like 6 days or something. Like just going up on stage, going, all right, you know, the few times I was
it's
on
probably
stage,
falling apart. But, no, I'm kidding.
What?
Your act. 6 days. No, but
it feels like it.
But it feels like
no,
it.
No, but
yeah.
Sometimes you like I was so intense when I was in New York. Like every spot I would listen to it and let me unravel this, unravel this. Yeah.
Nice.
I would, between spots, most of the time I would listen to the one I just finished, especially if there was like one joke where I'm like, oh, I got that one. Because I was just trying to like, you know, get every joke fucking perfect and put together a tape. This isn't like, you know, there's times where you're writing big and it's expansive and you're trying to make new stuff. And then other times you're just trying to delete one or two extra words and then you delete too many. And then you're like, what happened? That joke used to work. And
yeah, you use a scalpel on jokes. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
So now I just feel like,
you got sets this week?
A little disconnected. Tomorrow night, I'm headlining at Flappers. And then I
got to
pick up something. I don't know. I think it's Yoohoo.
Fair enough.
I don't know what? I never mind. Whichever one it is.
Yeah.
I usually have fun at those shows. I just...
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah, both rooms are fun.
Yeah. I'm doing... This will drop after I've done it.
Yeah.
So there's no point in... It's like, this is really bad promotion.
This is the worst.
I'm doing the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston. So I'm taking the red eye out on Friday night.
Oh, okay. So this weekend.
This weekend that just finished.
Right, that just finished.
Yes.
You will have done the Women in Comedy in Boston.
Yeah. So I took the red eye out on JetBlue red eye out on Friday. And then the afternoon, 4 o'clock, I have like a panel and then two shows at night. Then, yeah, I know.
Sunday,
my flight. I don't know why I did this to myself. I must have been way cheaper. I don't leave till 9:30 at night on Sunday night.
Oh, you got to see if you can change that.
I did. It's like a $300 change.
There'll always be another $300, is what my father would say.
You know what?
You have a kid and a mortgage. I know. Leave you alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, fair enough.
Your father hits on women at the grocery store.
Exactly.
I'm not taking all of his
advice. My father hits on women, whoever is standing in front of them.
Yeah.
So
I have all day in Boston on Sunday with what I thought was nothing to do, but then I got contacted by Harvard.
Harvard? Who is Harvard?
Harvard.
Oh, Harvard.
The university?
The university. Harvard. Pardon me. Yes.
They're somebody from, not Lampoon, but some comedy group. Some like women in comedy. Anyway, they want to do an interview. Perhaps me with Marina Franklin, because she's also going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or separately, depending on our schedules.
Didn't Marina establish? She was one of the founders of Women in that Boston Festival, I thought. Maybe
Marina
not.
Franklin?
I'm wrong, maybe?
Well, she's a New York comic.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm probably wrong. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with it. That I'm wrong.
But
she's
anyway.
Great.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting. And then, you know what? I guess I'll pay for the hotel room for an extra day, hang out till 8 o'clock, go to the...
There's $100.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I already told Harvard
that
I was available.
That you were available. Do a phoner. Who cares? It's a...
This is my first... this is me trying to get my son into Harvard.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
this is your first step.
Establishing
step
a connection.
One.
I want to be considered like an alumnus or alumni. I'll figure out which is the way.
Everyone I know who's gone to Harvard is just like... It's just like regular college. The hard part is getting in. And and you're like, fair enough. So... I have to say, so everyone needs to come to this show with Ophira Eisenberg and I, by the way.
Oh,
Ophira
so it's
Eisenberg,
tonight?
It'll, no. Well,
when
this
you're
will
dropping.
Drop Monday.
Yeah.
So this will go, we're doing the Thursday, 7 p.m. here at the Nerd Melt.
Oh, cool.
She's hilarious if you've never seen
she's
her
great.
Do stand-up because she's fantastic. She's previous comic of the week.
Yeah.
And I promise to do 10 new minutes. About what? We don't know yet.
Damn.
That's how new they're going to be. That's how new they're going to be, you guys. So come on Thursday at 7 p.m. to Nerd Melt and see me and Ophira.
You know, it's hard not to. I'm obsessed with politics. And normally, more so now than usual, even though I already am because of...
You've
I
always
have to
been, yeah.
...be inside them for monologue jokes. But it feels like the crazy... This crazy or correct people I'm following on Twitter, there's like a bunch of like people that... claim to have ties to intelligence, like Louise Mensch and Claude Taylor and John Schiller and a couple other people, and they say shit's going down pretty soon. like the FBI's gathering. They have a ton of evidence. That's why they didn't take up Michael Flynn's offer for immunity, because they didn't need it.
I'm not going to hold my breath. I refuse to hold my breath.
I just read tonight on Twitter. Jackie.
We can.
Well, I just read this on Twitter.
Then we know it's
There's
true.
There's audio of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell talking about taking money from Russia and funneling it into the Trump
Is there
campaign.
A way that all of these people could be incarcerated and in a chain gang that then could be buried underneath a volcano?
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. Someone was telling me that. Was it maybe has a joke where he said, you know, I can't say that I want someone to kill the president of the United States. So allow me to do a weird metaphor. and then he built this amazing castle. And I hope it was him. But if it wasn't him, I am sorry. FBI, it wasn't. Whoever's listening.
And you may have just gotten the wrong person killed.
Well, as long as he doesn't have a copy of the Quran. Did you ever see V for Vendetta?
Anyway, I did.
So a week from when this goes up.
Yeah.
Oh, because the talk show host. Essentially, it's the talk show host.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
I barely remember V for Vendetta.
Well, we're living through it, so it's fine. But we're going to be in Bridgetown doing a live Jackie and Laurie.
Yes, and I think we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. We haven't heard anything about her airfare. I'm like, what happened?
We might be doing the Birmingham. We're supposed to be. Right, yeah. But we're doing a Jackie and Laurie on the Saturday of Bridgetown,
which is May 6th or 5th or something like that.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do a Dork Forest, and then we're going to do a Jackie and Laurie, and then I have two sets that night, and then we're leaving on Sunday, which I think you're doing a Jackie and Laurie, and then I think you have two sets, and then you're leaving on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm really worried that I don't have enough new material from last time I was at Bridgetown.
When were you at Bridgetown?
Last year.
Oh, okay. They're 12-minute sets. Go to the vault. You're fine.
Well, this is the It's Always Good to See Laurie Kilmartin Festival.
Fine. Finally, that's right. That fuckwit who had that review.
Listen, she meant well, I'm sure.
I'm going to... I'll be
I like
bad
how
you for
come
you.
To my defense. You're like Andy and I'm you when the bartender's
exactly.
talking to
me. Exactly. So weird. It's I had two articles come out about me.
Oh, neat.
Both of which, by the way, told the world how old I was. Boo!
Who fucking cares?
Nobody,
you know what? Fuck
I can't
you,
be,
world.
I can't be any younger than I am.
No.
So, but it was a bit of a shock.
You're younger than me by 4 days. So
hold on to that. With my hat. But it was shocking to see the number in print.
I know. It's weird.
It is weird. But it was funny because I was interviewed for the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, and she quoted something I said. I was like, oh, I was pithy this day. And she said a nice thing. And then there was an article about this benefit I'm doing in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and the guy interviewed other people about me, and other people were pithy about me.
Neat. That's cool.
All cylinders over here. All cylinders. Guy like, Branum said a nice thing.
It's like seeing your obituary before
exactly
you die. That's nice.
Yes. When people say something nice about you in the paper. Yes. Hopefully mm-hmm. they will resurrect those topics.
Oh, God. How much longer, Kyle?
I think we're at 52. Eight more minutes. So this weekend I'm working with Maria.
Yeah. Where are you guys going?
Phoenix and Tucson.
Oh, yeah. You have
that will have just happened.
So you're driving to Tucson?
Yeah, we're going to fly to Phoenix. Yeah. We're going to drive to Tucson. We're going to fly out of Tucson.
Tucson's great. I like it a lot. So
Do
pretty.
You?
Yeah. There's mountains nearby.
Yep.
I mean, it's nice. You've got some
mm-hmm.
nice desert, and they have beautiful desert flowers,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
You're not into Tucson?
My brother, who is the grumpiest of
my
brothers,
lives there.
Oh, that's
right. You have family there.
And I love my brother. Sometimes I do not like my brother, my oldest brother, because he is a button pusher, and it is exhausting. Mm. So his children and his wife live there, and I like them. I wasn't going to tell anyone because I'm genuinely, we're going to be there for, 11 hours maybe?
Are you going to pop by Laughs and try and do a guest set?
No.
Have you worked Laughs recently?
No, I had to cancel because I got a money gig.
Was Gary mad?
He was fine.
Really?
No, he was super great about it. He was like, well, we'll rebook it.
And
it
that's cool.
I was like, yeah, he was super nice about it.
Great.
Yeah, Gary, yeah, he's fine.
I think he's mellowed out.
He's mellowed. And what I was told, what the first week I worked there, mm-hmm. the guy who helped me get the gig mm-hmm. said, what you should know about Gary Bynum, he said he doesn't want to talk to you. He just wants you to come and do your job and then get out.
That's
like,
my dream come true of every
exactly
club owner.
That's exactly what I said. I said, that's what I want to do. I want to show up, do my shows, and have a soda and maybe a taco and get the hell out.
Yeah.
And that's all I... And so because I didn't really... I was just polite and we just talked business. He has warmed up to me every time. And he's just like, how's it going? And there's small talk.
Yeah.
But he's never overbearing. It's always awesome.
Yeah.
He's almost perfect.
And his son's running it.
His son is a great guy.
Casey's great.
Yeah. Casey is a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
we lost Gary Hood.
We lost Hoodie. Yeah.
He was a comic and kind of ran the Tucson
front.
Comedy scene.
Yeah.
But, you know, every town needs like a Gary Hood to stay back and start and help the new comics.
Like
do things like, say, when you do an intro, you say the credits first and then the name.
Right.
Like just dumb stuff like that.
Yeah,
just
very much introductory to.
Yeah.
Here's how the
other things no one will tell you, you know, that you need to know just to be like a beginning comic.
Right.
You know?
Right. Just to make a show a show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually really good at that.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, and this is not Gary Bynum. I'm thinking of a different comic, but there are clubs around the country. You've worked at, I feel like that Dayton.
Lisa Grigsby?
I've never done that. I've never done Dayton Jokers. But there were clubs like, they're like weird gigs where the booker will not stop telling you that he's not making any money.
Oh, God. Right.
And he's just like, oh, you know, this is a bad week, and I'm not making a lot of money. And you feel this pressure to somehow go, oh, well, you could pay me less when you first start out.
Right, right.
Never give in to that. Absolutely never.
Yeah.
Because they're lying.
Oh, yeah.
And if you aren't good at whatever business you've chosen to go into, that isn't my fault.
Right.
It is not my fault.
I came all the way out here, wherever here is,
I have driven to Laughlin, Nevada. We're doing this.
Is that what happened?
No, I haven't done Laughlin in a dozen years. And clearly, I don't want to do it again because I just mentioned it by name.
Didn't Buddy Hackett's son, Sandy Hackett, ran a room in Laughlin, right?
Oh, yeah? I never did it either.
I just thought Sandy Hackett was a perfect, like, Vegas comedy name.
It really is.
A man named Sandy.
A man named Sandy who isn't a bartender. Yeah. It's there's always, when I was a kid, Nancy, my stepmother used to always say, when you meet a guy who's an adult man and he says his name is Joey or Jimmy or Billy or Bobby, that man is a bartender, Jackie. And I was like, and that has not been true across the board, but it has been more true than you would think.
You know, Bill Burr used to be Billy Burr.
No.
Until, I guess, like early 2000s. I think he moved to New York as Billy Burr and then cut it down.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. But for a while, people were so used to calling him Billy, it took him a while to take it down to Bill.
To bring it down.
But now.
Now it's Bill Burr.
Yeah, Bill Burr.
Grown-up man. I just did Dork Forest with Al Madrigal.
Yeah.
Who, they do allthingscomedy.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what the Dork Forest is under. And did I tell you this? That Al Madrigal's Dorkdom is the Jack Reacher novels?
You did. And I hated it the first time you told me.
It was weird because he gave me a Jack Reacher novel and I took it with me to Peoria and I read it. And there's no better place to read a Jack Reacher novel than in Peoria, Illinois. Because though I found two great restaurants and, oh, someone called me through my agent. They mm-hmm. said, hey, can you there's an idea for a show. We'd love you to host it. And it would be about food and about travel and about comedy
cool.
and about all these different things. And I was like, oh, I travel and I like food and I'm constantly looking for the best place to get chicken
mm-hmm.
in a random town. And in the course of the discussion, I said, wait, is this a reality TV show contest? And there was this pause and the woman goes, yes, but hear me out. And I said, we got to be done. We got to be done talking, I'm afraid. I'm not good at them. I'm not a big enough diva. There's not enough drama on. If you want me to host something with sincerity and charm, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
And I'd care about those travel and food, so I could do that. But I cannot housewife of Orange County fucking thing. So
okay, I'm going to write the question that I think Etta Mae would ask.
Yeah.
How much money? Did you ask that?
Never say no without a number is my father's fucking sewn on a pillow, and I did not ask. She said, what you won, there was no money. There was no money. Oh. You won a show. If you did it, you got a show. And I'm sure it was scale.
That reminds
like last
me of,
comic standing.
Yeah, Nick at Night, Search for the Funniest Mom, too.
Sure, Darlene Wesker won the first year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She had a pilot, right?
Yep.
Did they go any further with it?
Nope. But they shot it.
Yeah.
So there was
that.
Did
they air it?
No.
Carol Leifer wrote on it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. It was the furthest they ever went. It was, you know how it is with, in my opinion, and I don't watch
it. Darlene Wesker is hilarious.
Darlene Wesker, previous comic of the week, is hilarious.
Yeah.
And she was freaking out because she realized that she was going out for this Funniest Mom in America. And she was doing fine until it was time to do a set. And she was like, oh, this is on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have any material that's set for Nick. And she called me in Australia. I was in Australia, and I said, "Well, what others? You only have those jokes. You have to do your act because you just have your act." And then she won the whole damn thing, and it was awesome.
That's
because
cool.
It's proof positive that you can only do your act, and if you try to fix stuff, you're gonna screw yourself.
Oh, I have a different story.
Oh yeah,
from but I can't. I,
a different.
It could be libel, but it's. It's about a very famous female comic.
Yeah.
Right? From the late 80s.
Sure.
Who won some kind of VH1 thing. And
right.
Apparently she had no jokes and started doing stuff from other comics on Long Island that she knew. And
oof.
Everyone was pissed about it.
And everyone should be pissed about
yeah.
it. Because it's not. It's like when.
You could probably figure out who it is, but I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to say it.
Yeah. Or it's, libel her or whatever. I don't
or
know.
Whatever. Who cares? It's just
in the, amortized.
There's both.
Amortized?
Tract house. So
tract home. Tract house. Yeah. Tract house. Tract home.
50s tract house.
Wait.
Tract home.
There's a finger up. 1 minute.
Oh my God.
No, that's an hour.
Oh. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.